Hello, I'm Lisa Cowley, Chief Executive at Beacon. This week's edition of the Black Country Talking News is for Wednesday, the 22nd of July, 2020.
Welcome to the Black Country Talking News, brought to you by sightless charity Beacon Centre. I'm Simon. We are pleased to inform you that our Talking News service is now once again available in CD format. And to those who have received their CD in the post, you'll notice they're in paper envelopes, not the usual plastic wallets, so there's no need to send anything back. Our Talking News service is also available via the following methods. Online by visiting Beacon's website, www.beaconvision.org/talking-news, as a podcast on the Black Country Radio website, www.blackcountryradio.co.uk/on-air/podcasts. On Spotify and Apple Podcasts, simply search Beacon Black Country Talking News and hit the subscribe button, and on your mobile or tablet device by downloading the free British Wireless for the Blind Talking News application from your App Store. We hope you enjoy this week's edition.
Thank you, Simon. We have Christine, Mina, Ian, Helen, Talking Book Steve, Flashback Roger, Angela, and me, Pete. And on this week, we'll have a roundup of local news, our weekly quiz, our Talking Book Review. We have our flashback section where we look at events at this week in history. We have a chat with one of Beacon's employment team, Ranjit. We'll speak to Ranjit a little later. Reports on Wolves and West Bromwich Albion. We've got the weather for the weekend and next week. Plus, we'll also hear from one of our volunteer readers, Ian, who this week is in his caravan in Wales. So he sends us a little update on how he's doing. We have an update from Beacon. Plus, we have our new music quiz right at the end. But what about last week's music quiz? How did you get on? Have I the answers? I have. And thank you to Andy Colston for sending in the questions. And if you remember, what we asked you to do was fill in the missing word from a song title. So let's go through the answers from last week. The first one was from 1957. It was Elvis Presley and All Shook Up. You knew that one, didn't you? 1958, the Everly Brothers, All I Have to Do Is Dream. From 1959, Sarah Vaughan and Broken Hearted Melody. From 1960, Roy Orbison, Only the Lonely. And finally, from 1961, Ray Charles, Hit the Road, Jack. Okay, so those are our little song titles. That's our little quiz. And we have another one coming up right at the end of this week's edition. But now let's start off with some local news with Ian, Angela, but first of all, Christine.
The chief executive of Into Properties, which owns Maryhill Shopping Centre, has left the company a week after it crashed into administration. KPMG, the company handling Into's administration, informed employees on Friday. The administrators revealed that Matthew Roberts had decided to leave the role he had held since April last year. Mr. Roberts was previously the chief financial officer. The administrators have successfully secured £12 million from creditors. The move has enabled Into's 17 UK shopping centres to remain open for a six-month period. The group has also retained key Into operational staff to ensure the continued smooth running of its centres. Into also owns and manages the Trafford Centre in Manchester and Lakeside in Essex.
An urgent warning has been issued after a sharp spike in coronavirus cases in Smethwick. In the past 14 days, some 28 cases of coronavirus have been confirmed in the town, which is significantly higher than was expected, and health bosses are also expecting it to rise again. but a local lockdown situation such as in Leicester is not yet being considered, although the situation is being monitored, health bosses confirmed. Sandwell Council public health experts are working with people in the area, businesses and community venues to make sure safety guidelines are followed. Director of Public Health, Dr. Lisa McNally, said the infection has been affecting multiple people in the same home. She said, "The numbers are changing all the time. We have seen 28 cases in the last 14 days, which is significantly higher than we would expect based on previous figures, and it is changing all the time, so we expect it to rise again. A pattern is emerging showing the infection affecting higher numbers of people in a small number of properties. 2, 3, and 4 people, sometimes in one household, often in multi-generational households, rather than lots of single cases across a lot of households."
Firefighters have demanded meetings with station commanders in a bid to overturn a diversive and short-sighted ban on the Black Country flag being flown at stations. Senior officials at the West Midlands Fire Service banned the flag from being displayed at stations across the region, claiming it could have links to the slave trade. The move, which was announced on Black Country Day, has today been described as inexplicable by Labour MP, while Labour bosses have also hit out, saying they were not involved, and furious rank-and-file firefighters have called for meetings with station commanders in a bid to get the ban overturned.
Sandwell Council is drawing up ambitious plans to regenerate 3 town areas in the borough in a bid to win a slice of the £3.6 billion cash available nationwide for regeneration schemes. Councillor Maria Crompton, Deputy Council Leader, said the council was pulling out all the stops to secure government cash after 3 local towns, West Bromwich, Rowley Regis and Smethwick, were selected to bid for grants up to £25 million. The 3 names were on a list of 100 towns across the country selected for the government's Towns Fund scheme. The council is now working up comprehensive bids to secure some of the available cash for the 3 town areas. The funding available can be used to help regenerate town centres, increase local skills, thus stimulating local businesses, and improve both digital and physical connectivity. It is hoped that a successful application to the fund will provide the 3 towns with the opportunity for transformational change and ensure that West Bromwich, Smethwick and Rowley Regis are all prepared for the changing nature of the high street in the 21st century. The investment plans, which will be developed with local communities and organisations, will be submitted to the government by early 2021.
The West Midlands has the highest rate of furloughed workers in the country, after the number of people claiming government support rose to nearly 500,000. New figures to the end of June show that in the 7 boroughs of the combined authority area, almost 1/3 of all employees were on the coronavirus job retention scheme, up 64,000 from the previous month. And the HM Revenue and Customs figures show that 3/4 of all self-employed workers were paid through the Self-Employment Income Support Scheme from the end of May. In total, they received £237.2 million in payments. Overall, the number of employees across the region having their wages supported by the government rose by 17% over the month to 483,600. Nationally, 9.4 million employments had been placed on furlough.
Hi everyone, it's Helen from the Beacon Centre here. We hope you're all keeping well. Now, those of you with youngsters in your life will know that the school holidays have started this week. Things have been a little unusual for those in education the past few months, and now the summer holidays have hit, it looks as though many parents will still be struggling to keep their children busy while continuing to work. But if you need to keep a little one entertained, then Beacon can help. Why not download the Beacon Family Fun Pack? It's packed with activities to keep everyone busy. There's a suggested donation of just £3 per pack, and funds raised will support Beacon. Download your pack now from our website, www.beaconvision.org/beacon-family-fun-pack. Now, we've been keeping you updated on the reopening of our shops in recent weeks. We are so grateful for the support shown to our stores since we've been able to start opening our doors again. But we need to ask people not to leave donations outside our shops when they are closed. Before we can take any donation at the moment, we need to know that they have come from a household which hasn't had any COVID-19 symptoms. Donations left outside our stores can also cause a hazard for our members with sight loss, our staff and the public. You can find out more about how to donate to one of our shops on our website, www.beaconvision.org/charity-shop-donations. Now, in other news, we thought we'd update you on some of the things our fundraising team have been up to in recent weeks. Firstly, we'd like to thank everyone who snapped up a ticket for our virtual summer raffle this year. It's a really easy way to support us and it will make such a difference for us as a charity. If you're someone who normally gets a few raffle tickets while out and about at summer fetes, then why not try your luck with Beacons? As you know, we've taken it online this year, and for just £2 a ticket, you could be in with a shot of winning one of three fantastic prizes. And you'll be helping a great cause as well. Snap up your ticket today. Head to www.justgiving.com/fundraising/beaconsummerraffle. That's www.justgiving.com/fundraising/beaconsummerraffle. We've been thrilled with the support our fundraisers have shown us in recent months. From shaving beards to counting steps, people have been up to all sorts to raise money for Beacon and help us continue our work supporting those with sight loss. So, we are really excited to share a new cycling virtual challenge that you can get involved with and help support us at the same time. We are taking part in the Prudential My Ride London and we need your help. You can choose different challenges for all abilities and ages. Once you register, you can download the Prudential Ride London app to track, share and log your miles. You can even choose to set your target to, whether it be cycling for 15 miles or 15 minutes. So please join us on the 15th and 16th of August to take part. It's completely free to sign up. All we ask is that you select Beacon as the charity you're raising funds for when you register. So what are you waiting for? Grab your bike, scooter, skateboard or even your unicycle and sign up today. Head to www.myridelondon.co.uk. That's www.myridelondon.co.uk. Now, runners among you will probably have heard that the Great Birmingham Run announced recently that this year's event will not be going ahead. But if you've been training and don't want to let all that hard work go to waste, why not join the Beacon 10,000 Miles Challenge today and record your training miles to help us reach our target by the end of December? It costs £10 plus booking fee and a minimum of £9.50 will be donated back to Beacon. Head to www.etchrock.com, that's etchrock.com/challenge/info/10,000-miles-for-beacon. That's etchrock.com/challenge/info/10,000-miles-for-beacon, and the 10,000 is the number. Our wonderful fundraising team are always happy to hear new ideas and help you set up your donation pages. If you've got something you want to let us know about, why not email us? Drop us a line at fundraising@beaconvision.org. Thanks, guys. See you next week.
More local news now with Angela.
All staff at Petswell Park Hotel have been made redundant after the company went into liquidation. The Hotel Golf and Country Club between Bridge North and Wolverhampton closed down in March when the country went into lockdown, and it has now been revealed it will not be opening again. A spokesman for PAF Business Recovery, company handling the liquidation confirmed the Lakeside Resort in Pattingham had been shut down. He said directors have committed to place the company into liquidation. Unfortunately, the business is ceasing to trade and all staff have been made redundant as of July 9th. Further documentation has been issued to creditors and will be writing to creditor and employees in due course. It could not be confirmed the exact number of employees being made redundant, but PAF Business Recovery said it included all those working at the hotel, golf club and fisheries.
Plans have been launched to build 14 homes along a Black Country residential street. Dudley Council has recommended the application for Summit Place in Lower Gornal for approval with certain conditions after objections from residents. The applicant, A.E. Hawkins Management Limited, is seeking to build 5 pairs of semi-detached 3-bedroom bungalows, 2 detached 4-bedroom houses and 2 bungalows. The plot of land is currently grassland which is used to graze horses, said Gornal councillor Anne Millwood. It is located between the Bush Inn pub and an existing set of terraced homes. Planning permission to build homes in Wordsley, granted in private during the coronavirus lockdown, could be thrown out after councillors said they would have rejected the scheme. Dudley Council's Development Committee is now being asked to revisit the decision taken by planning officers when normal council meetings were suspended. Councillors will decide if the plans for homes on the site of 18 garages to the rear of Marlborough Gardens can go ahead after receiving a petition with 127 signatures and an objection from local MP Mike Wood. The Development Committee will meet on July 22nd to consider the plans.
Work to expand the I-54 business park on the outskirts of Wolverhampton is ahead of schedule, despite coronavirus, bosses have confirmed. Site clearance, land investigation and testing across the 60-acre site at the I-54 in South Staffordshire were completed last week. Now, the main construction of employment floor space for businesses has started, with work expected to be completed next year. The Western Extension aims to deliver 100,000 square metres for companies, with an aim of providing around 1,700 new jobs from 2022. The project has been spearheaded by Wolverhampton Council, Staffordshire County Council and South Staffordshire Council, and has been backed by the Black Country Local Enterprise Partnership and Stoke-on-Trent and Staffordshire Local Enterprise Partnership. The partners in the scheme have also agreed a further £500,000 to support and promote sustainable travel activities, with £50,000 being given to Penderford Hall Nature Reserve.
Fewer than a quarter of pupils in some year groups have returned to school despite being able to amid coronavirus. Figures revealed by the Express and Star show the huge disparity of students attending, down to as little as 4%. It comes after concerns by parents over the spread of coronavirus and whether it was worthwhile sending their child back temporarily. Pupils studying their A levels in year 12 hit highs of almost 4/5 in Samwell, where nursery pupils hit a low across the Black Country with Samwell as low as 4%. More than a quarter returned to school in Wolverhampton and near 1/5 of pupils returned in Dudley.
4 outdated high-rise blocks in the Black Country are to be demolished 3 years earlier than planned. Dudley Council has announced plans to knock down Arley Court, Compton Court, Wells Court and Manor Court in Netherton. The authority says the move will save it £6 million and help fund new social housing. The buildings are no longer deemed fit for purpose with huge repair bills. Demolition was originally set to take place in 2023, but Council Leader Patrick Harley said his administration wants to act in a timely manner after the deadline was brought forward. The plans caused controversy when first announced 4 years ago under the Labour group, with residents hitting out at the Council saying they didn't want to move. But since October 2016, the Council has helped 180 tenants move out into better housing. The 4 buildings were built in the 1960s. It will cost £3 million to demolish the flats and rehouse tenants, compared with £9 million for the continued upkeep of the buildings, according to Dudley Council. The demolition of Wells Court on Meeting Street and Manor Court on Church Road is expected to start in the autumn. Arley Court on Swan Street and Compton Court, also on Swan Street, are expected to be demolished by December. It is proposed the land will be used to create new and affordable housing.
The big question now is, what's happening next? Well, here's Mina.
It's that time again, where we test you on events that happened on this week in history. As always, you will find the answers in our flashback section coming up later in this week's Black Country Talking News with Roger. Are you ready? Here we go. Question one. In what year did the USA land a man on the moon? Question two. On July 20th, 1984, James Fix, who wrote about the benefits of jogging, sadly died. But what was the cause? Question three. Who was famously named the King of Rock and Roll? Question four. Before the invention of the pocket thermometer, what was the length of its predecessor? Question five. What role did James Doohan famously portray? And finally, question six. What was bricked up in the 17th century to avoid paying as much income tax? Keep listening for the answers. If you miss them, don't worry. We'll let you know all the answers at the end of this week's edition. Good luck.
Answers coming up later. And we've got our music quiz at the end too. More local news now with Ian.
A councillor in the Black Country who did not attend any meetings in 6 months has lost his council seat. Dudley councillor Mike Atwood, who represents Norton, was removed after breaching local government rules. Mr Atwood, whose seat will be vacant until next May, was originally voted onto the council in 2004 when he stood as a Conservative. But he defected in 2018 to Labour, helping the party win control of the council from the Conservatives, amid his criticism of the party. Mr Atwood was sacked from the council in April, but his dismissal only came to light after a notice advertising his seat was vacant was posted on Dudley Council's website.
Without our visitors, we are nothing really. Those are the words of Andrew Lovett, Chief Executive of the Black Country Living Museum, as staff get ready to reopen the doors to visitors once again after 4 months. The museum, based off Tipton Road, Dudley, was forced to close its doors on March 18th due to the coronavirus crisis. During that period of closure, bosses at the museum could have expected to welcome around 150,000 visitors through the gates. They have faced losing more than 3 million of income. The majority of staff were furloughed, expansion plans put on hold, and they were left counting down the days to see when they could reopen on the region's most iconic and much-loved attractions once again. The museum has also been forced to cancel a number of popular events, including their Peaky Blinders nights in September. It was announced earlier this month that the museum would receive £1.175 million of financial support from Arts Council England's Emergency Response Fund. The Black Country Living Museum will officially reopen on Saturday, August the 1st.
Dudley residents are advised to be extra vigilant as scammers claiming to be from the TV licensing company and HMRC target the area. In recent months, Dudley Council's scams unit has seen a rise in the number of coronavirus-related scams targeting residents in the borough. One of the most recent has seen residents receive a call from a hoax HMRC officer claiming that they are entitled to a tax refund related to the furlough scheme. The caller asks for bank details and says they must process the refund over the phone. This is in fact a fraudster and people are urged not to share their bank details over the phone. Scammers are also emailing some residents pretending to be from the TV licensing company, either claiming residents need to make an urgent payment or they're entitled to a refund or cheaper license. If someone believes they have been contacted by a scammer, they should report it to Dudley Council's Scams Unit on 01384 818 871 or via trading.standards@dudley.gov.uk.
Dudley Zoo's beloved orangutan, Jorong, has died, it has been announced. The 25-year-old died last week in the presence of the zoo's veterinary team and his keepers while undergoing treatment for a long-term illness, a statement from the attraction said. Dudley Zoo Director Derek Grove said, "All DZC staff are understandably devastated at the loss of the great ape, who was also a hugely popular animal with visitors. A post-mortem for him will be carried out in due course." Jurong has lived at the zoo since 2008, after relocating from Dublin Zoo as a part of a breeding program for the critically endangered species. The Bornean orangutan is the slowest breeding of all mammal species, with an interval of approximately 8 years between births. Orangutans typically live up to 35 years in the wild and 60 years in captivity. On a happier note, Dudley Zoo and Castle has been awarded a £120,000 grant to begin plans to renovate a further four of the site's iconic 1930s Tecton structures. The grant from the Getty Foundation's Keeping It Modern initiative is to allow repairs to be carried out on the Discovery Centre, Queen Mary Restaurant, Tropical Bird House and Elephant House, ahead of planning and listed building submissions. Dudley Zoo and Castle contains the world's largest single collection of Grade 2 listed Tecton buildings, which were granted World Monument status in 2009. Led by Russian-born architect Berthold Lubetkin, the Tecton Group were pioneers in bringing modernist architecture to the UK, and between 1935 and 1937 designed and built many of the zoo's enclosures using a specialist system of reinforced concrete.
Former Black Country MP Ian Austin is set to receive a life peerage for his work in politics, according to reports. Mr. Austin, who was the MP for Dudley North for 14 years before setting down ahead of last year's general election, is among 30 new peers to be announced later this month. The former government minister announced his decision to quit Labour in February 2019, accusing Jeremy Corbyn of poisoning the party with extremism. He then urged people to vote Tory in November's election in order to stop the catastrophe of Mr. Corbyn's getting into power. Mr. Austin has been one of the small number of Labour MPs to defy the party whip and back Boris Johnson's Brexit deal in the Commons. He is currently the chair of Mainstream UK, a campaign group he formed to fight against extremism. Downing Street is yet to officially confirm the reports.
On this week's Sight Loss News at Beacon, I'm talking to Ranjit Chopra, who's part of our employment team. So Ranjit, just tell me a little bit about the employment team. What do you do?
Okay, on the employment team, we work with people that have disabilities, visual impairments or any other disability on the BBR project. And we support them with progression routes into employment or training, or it might be confidence, a bit of IT skills to get them upskilled if they're looking for employment. If they need low vision support, we can make those relevant referrals, support them with voluntary work. So there's lots that happen to kind of get the person where we need to progress them to.
So what's the background? I mean, where do people generally come from before they just talk to you?
So we might get self-referrals that might have picked up a leaflet. It could be from the library, it could be from the eye clinic hospital. We also do our own networking where we go out to the job centres and pick up referrals there.
Is this all for people with sight loss?
Sight loss and any other disability as well. So we work with both. So Pathways is just sight loss and BBO is sight loss and any other disability.
And the aim of the project is to get people into volunteer work, into permanent work?
Yeah, so it's to build their confidence and hopefully if their goal is to get into employment or get a training qualification, that's the end goal, to support them with that. And we go through the steps of if they need a bit of confidence building, we'll use one-to-one sessions to build their confidence, or group sessions where we can work on that with the individual.
So can you give any examples of some success stories of people who've come to you? What's been the outcome?
Yeah, so we've recently had a client that has been engaging with us for a year. So he has learning disabilities. So through one-to-one job search support, as that's his area that he struggles with, He was supported to do applications, do a supporting letter, redo his CV. So every week we'd do job search sessions. And now during COVID, he's been able to find employment with the Wolverhampton Council as an environmental operative. So that's been a success. So it's a part-time role. So yeah, he's really enjoying that.
So you're aiming to get people into volunteer work, yeah. Temporary work, training?
Yeah.
And permanent work as
yeah.
well? Okay. So, if someone wants to find out more and they'd like to take advantage of these opportunities, what do they do?
If they just call up reception and ask for the employment team, and then the relevant referrals can be made from whoever answers that phone, and we'll put them to the right department to give that support.
Okay, so if you want to find out more about the employment opportunities through Beacon, please give us a call. That number is 01902 880 111. I'll give you the phone number once again at the end of this week's bulletin.
Our final news roundup now with Christine.
Prime Minister Boris Johnson has backed the new Black Country Monopoly game, which was launched to coincide with Black Country Day. Stourbridge-based Mary Stevens Hospice joined forces with Winning Moves to make one of three limited edition Monopoly games created each year. Everything down to the community chest and chance cards have been altered to fit with the Black Country theme. You can also order special edition playing pieces, which include Dudley Castle. Landmarks on the board also include Dudley Zoo, Dudley Hippodrome, the Duncan Edwards statue, Black Country Living Museum, the Sister Dora statue, Sedgley Beacon and the Mon on the Oss. The game was officially launched on July 14th, Black Country Day.
Council bosses are in talks with developers about building an ice rink in Dudley Town Centre. It comes after a campaign was launched calling on Dudley Council to help build one in the borough. Council leader Patrick Harley says negotiations are currently ongoing about the feasibility of the project. He says an ice rink could also be built as a part of a new entertainment arena, which has been mooted for Dudley as well. Talks are currently at the very early stages, but Councillor Harley is confident the project will become a reality. Dudley used to have one years ago opposite the station hotel, said Councillor Alan Finch. Such a project would tie in with the ongoing redevelopment of Dudley Town Centre, which includes building a new tram line and bus station. Councillor Finch, who has backed the petition, said a suitable location could be Flood Street car park. However, Councillor Harley said this isn't a good location due to upcoming developments for that area, including a new leisure centre and tram stop. Planners are currently looking at the Portersfield area, where Cavendish House recently stood, before its demolition as a possible location. However, another idea is to incorporate an ice rink into a proposed new stadium. Councillor Harley compared this idea to MK Dons Stadium, where they hold corporate and sporting events alongside football, he said. He added, "We need to make sure these things generate enough revenue to do it ourselves, or we will look at working with another party to pay for most of it."
A new metro stop in Dudley Town Centre will be named after the town's landmark castle. Originally named Stations Drive on the plans, it has now been agreed the stop should be named after Dudley Castle. Connecting Dudley to the National Rail Network, the metro line will run from Wensbury to Briley Hill, enabling people to travel more easily to Birmingham and other parts of the Black Country. Work will continue to extend the line throughout the summer months.
School's out for summer, and work continues behind the scenes to bring things back to normality in Dudley Borough Parks. While indoor gyms remain closed, people can now apply for permits to host outdoor classes of up to 30 people in parks. The limit was previously 6. The coffee shop at Mary Stevens Park in Stourbridge reopened earlier this month, and council bosses have said work is also well underway to allow play areas to open at selected parks imminently. The play areas have been sealed off since March due to the coronavirus pandemic.
Wolverhampton Grand Theatre is set to launch a series of free online activities over the summer. The activities, which include dance, drama, storytelling, spoken word and backstage tours of the theatre, will be streamed on the theatre's social media channels from Monday the 20th of July until Tuesday the 1st of September. Vicky Price, Associate Director of Development and Communications, said, "We are delighted to launch this online activity, which is a first for us here at the Grand. I do hope our patrons enjoy watching or taking part. We have received many messages from our audiences saying how much they miss coming to the theatre, and this will help them feel that one step closer to returning. This project was funded by the Arts Council, England's emergency response package to COVID-19. The theatre received a £30,000 grant in order to continue community engagement over the next 6 months.
Time to find out the answers to the quiz now, as we delve into the past with Flashback Roger.
This is our flashback section, where we'll look at events that happened this week in history and where you'll find the answers to the quiz questions that were set earlier. A lot happened in July in various years, but in 1969 we saw the first man on the moon. The Apollo 11 crew landed on the lunar surface, and 6.5 hours after landing, Neil Armstrong stepped onto the surface, speaking the famous line, "That's one small step for a man, one giant leap for mankind." Buzz Aldrin joined him 20 minutes later. They also left behind a laser reflector, which was used to prove the moon was 131.2 feet further away than previously believed, which I'm sure is of great benefit to someone somewhere. On July the 20th in 1984, James Fix, who was aged 52 and who was the fitness guru and author of The Complete Book of Running, and that launched a nationwide running craze. He sadly died of a heart attack while jogging. Fix started running and quit smoking at the age of 35 when he weighed 15.5 stone, and he smoked 2 packs of cigarettes a day. 10 years later, when his book, The Complete Book of Running, was published, he was 11 stone. The book sold over 1 million copies. July the 20th, 1954. Now then, I dare say that some of you may have heard of this bloke, because he was after all the king of rock and roll. Oh yes, he was. Elvis Presley gave his first public performance perched on the back of a truck for a drugstore opening in Memphis, Tennessee. I don't know what happened to him after that, though, because it doesn't say. Did he actually come to anything? I don't know. On July the 20th, 1836, the inventor of the clinical thermometer, English physician Sir Thomas Clifford Allbutt, was born. He invented the short clinical pocket thermometer in 1866. Prior to his invention, clinical thermometers were about 1 foot long, and patients had to hold them in place for about 20 minutes. I wouldn't have fancied that. I mean, what about if your mouth was sore? What then? On the 22nd of July 1920, Canadian actor James Doohan was born. He was famous for his portrayal of Chief Engineer Scotty on Star Trek. During World War II, he was involved in the D-Day invasions. He was hit by 6 rounds of friendly fire from a Canadian sentry. One of the bullets, which he discharged, was stopped by a cigarette case he was carrying. It was a gift from his brother. He also helped create Klingon and Vulcan languages for Star Trek, which had become much loved and learned by all Trekkies and fans of Star Trek. And finally, on July the 24th, 1851, the Window Tax of England is repealed. It was first levied in 1696. The Window Tax was originally levied in lieu of an income tax, and windows were seen as a sign of wealth. Therefore, the more windows you had, the more you were taxed. Some houses of that era would brick up windows to avoid paying the tax. Well, that's all for the quiz this week. I hope you do well with the answers. Bye for now. Bye-bye.
As the football season nears completion, it's nearly done. So we're getting a bit tense, isn't it? Let's hear from our local football clubs now, with Ian.
West Bromwich Albion will be determined to make the most of their second chance to win automatic promotion to the Premier League when they host QPR on Wednesday. The Baggies welcome Mark Warburton's side to the Hawthorns, knowing a victory will see them return to English football's top tier. It looked highly likely Slaven Bilic's side would have to make do with a place in the playoffs after they were beaten at Huddersfield on Friday. But rivals Stoke did them a huge favour by toppling Brentford on Saturday, a result which puts promotion back in Albion's hands. The Baggies will go up if they better at Brentford's result against Barnsley on Wednesday, in what is the final round of league matches in the Championship. If they draw, though, and Brentford win, it will be the Bees who clinch second spot and a place in the Premier League. There is still an outside chance Fulham could go up automatically, but they need to beat Wigan and hope Albion lose and Brentford either draw or are beaten. Both the Albion and Brentford games, which kick off at 7:30 p.m, will be broadcast live by Sky, the broadcaster has confirmed. Speaking after the Huddersfield loss, Bilic admitted his team failed to cope with the occasion and crumbled under the pressure in Yorkshire. And he told his players they now have to prove they have the character to go on and win promotion to the Premier League. Now is the time to show we are real men, not nearly men, in terms of this, he said. We have to react in the proper way. Meanwhile, Albion target Bright Osei Samuel could be set to join Club Bruges after QPR accepted a £5 million offer for the winger. Boss Nuno Espirito Santo is very proud of his immensely committed Wolves side as they approach arguably the biggest game of a colossal campaign. Monday's clash with Crystal Palace at Molineux at 8:15 p.m. is a must win as Wolves look to secure a Europa League spot. It will be their 56th game of the season, which began in the Europa qualifiers all the way back on July the 25th last year against Northern Irish outfit Crusaders. And when asked if he takes pride in the work Wolves have put in to get to this point, sixth in the table with two Premier League games to go, Nuno said, "Of course, always. The players have been immensely committed since the beginning. I feel really proud of the way that we have operated as a group for so long." Wolves' astonishing lack of injuries over the past couple of years has been acknowledged far and wide, and rightly so, but Nuno has also praised the mental resilience of his players. "Yes, of course, when you are involved in so many games as we have been already, having the will and belief to go again over and over again," he said. "It's day by day and game by game, so it can only make us proud. A lot of credit must go to the players for it." Back on the physical front, Wolves are not thought to have any major issues heading into the Eagles encounter, though Nuno did add, "Always, after a game, we have issues to assess. The important thing is to recover well. We have a couple of days to go before the game, but the games come so fast, so we have to recover and prepare." Wolves' final league game of the season is away at Chelsea on Sunday, the 26th of July, with a 4 p.m. kickoff.
Well, that's Wolves' final league game of the season, but they've still got the Europa League to play as well. So their season has gone on for, well, over 12 months now. Anyway, enough of that. Talking Books now. Here's Talking Book Steve.
Hi there, everybody, and welcome to this week's audiobook review in the Black Country Talking newspaper. So this week, I've chosen to review a book by a novelist I imagine we'd all be fairly familiar with, Stephen King. The book's name is 11/22/63, a novel. It lasts about 30 hours and is narrated by Craig Wasson. So, to summarise this book, it's about Jake Epin, who is a 35-year-old high school English teacher in Lisbon Falls, Maine, America. And he makes extra money teaching adults in what they call the GED program. He receives an essay from one of the students, a gruesome, harrowing first-person story about the night 50 years ago when Harry Dunning's father came home and killed his mother, his sister, and his brother with a hammer. Harry escaped with a smashed leg, as evidenced by his crooked walk. Not much later, Jake's friend, Al, who runs the local diner, divulges a secret. His storeroom is a portal to 1958. He enlists Jake on an insane and frankly insanely possible mission to try to prevent the Kennedy assassination. And so begins Jake's new life as George Amberson and his new world of Elvis and JFK, big American cars, sock ops, and a troubled loner friend named Lee Harvey Oswald, and a beautiful high school librarian named Sadie Dunhill. who becomes the love of his life. It's a life that transgresses all the normal rules of time, and a story that gripped me. I'm a big fan of Stephen King, so I was immersed from the off, frankly, and I think you might be too. So why not give it a try, see if you like it. Let us know whether you did or you didn't. And of course, as always, if there are any books that you'd like us to review or that you've read recently and would like to review yourself, get in touch with the team at Beacon, and we'll make sure that happens. As always, stay safe and take care, folks. Speak to you soon. Bye-bye.
Hello, it's Ian here, one of your regular volunteer readers. I'm not at home this week, as I normally am when I record my items. I'm away on holiday in my caravan in Mid Wales. And I thought I would just say a few words to you to paint a picture of where I am. So I'm at my caravan at our holiday park, which is called Morfa Bychan, and it's near to Aberystwyth on the coast in Mid Wales. And I'm looking out at an absolutely beautiful scene today. We have a deep blue sea, which is barely moving at all. There's hardly a ripple on the surface of the sea because there's very little wind, and the sky is a nice pale blue colour, and there are a few fluffy white clouds, but it doesn't look as though there's going to be any rain today. It is an absolutely beautiful scene that I'm looking at. So we're very pleased to finally be able to be here. Because of the coronavirus pandemic, we have not been able to come to our caravan. We haven't been here since last November. We would normally have started coming here in March, but the Welsh government has not allowed people to travel to places like this because of the coronavirus pandemic. But they lifted their restrictions last weekend on the 11th of July. And we had to wait a week because Catherine, my wife, is a primary school teacher. And she had to go to work last week, so we came yesterday on Sunday. We drove here from Sedgley. It took us 3 hours. Nice, very pleasant journey. Not very much traffic on the road at all, and it was fine. So we arrived yesterday midday, and we've got one or two minor issues with the caravan because it's been here standing with nobody in it for such a long time. We've got a couple of little things we've discovered. Last September, I laid some gravel underneath the decking here. It looks very nice. But unfortunately, during the winter, it's been attacked by some of the local badgers who've dug some holes in it. And so this morning, I'm going to have to get my overalls on and clear some of the soil that they've sprinkled all over my nice gravel. So I'm going to have to work on that. And the other problem we've got a little bit of a drip in our shower. I think we should have drained the shower somehow before we left it in November, and we didn't do that. So I think one of the washers has probably perished. So I hope that we can get it fixed without having to call a plumber out, because it's probably going to be quite expensive if we do have to have a plumber. Now, I'm not the best DIY expert. Those of you that are old enough to remember, my DIY skills are something akin to those of Frank Spencer, who used to be on the TV in the 1970s. But I hope we'll manage to get it fixed. Then this afternoon, we plan to have a bit of a walk. Catherine has had to go into town this morning. She should be. It's a training day in their school today, but because people are not going into school, they are having a meeting online. But we don't have any Wi-Fi here at the holiday park, so she's had to drive into Aberystwyth to go to our son's room, and he's got Wi-Fi there. He's a student in the university, and she's going to attend the meeting using his Wi-Fi. Hopefully, I hope that all works. Then this afternoon, we plan to have a walk. We're going to walk along the banks of the River Ystwyth. That's what Aberystwyth is named after. The name of the town means the mouth of the Ystwyth. Aber, in a Welsh place name, always means the mouth of something. And we're going to walk along the banks of the River Ystwyth, about 3/4 of an hour, into Aberystwyth. Normally, we tend to walk along the coast path, which is a beautiful, beautiful walk. But today we're going to try this new route along the river. Should take about 3/4 of an hour each way. So we're looking forward to doing that. So that's where I am this week. I thought you might be interested to listen to where I am, where I'm reading your news items from this week. If you enjoy this little talk, I'll perhaps do another one next week. So it's goodbye from me, Ian, in Morva Bachan near Aberystwyth. Goodbye.
Well, it all sounds very calm, doesn't it? A beautiful day on the Mid Wales coast. But what's the weather going to be like inland over here? It's over to you, Mina.
For the weekend and week ahead, a bit of everything by the looks of things. Cloud, rain and sunshine with temperatures between 20 and 22 degrees. The sunrise and sunset times for next week are: sunrise will be at 5:18 a.m. and sunset will be at 21:11 p.m. On Friday 24th of July, we are looking at light cloud and a gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 21 degrees with high pollen levels and medium UV levels. Moving on to Saturday 25th of July, we have light rain showers and a gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 20 degrees with medium UV levels. On Sunday 26th of July, we have light rain showers again and a gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 20 degrees with medium UV levels. Moving on to Monday 27th of July, we have light cloud and a gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 20 degrees, UV levels at medium. And on Tuesday 28th of July, we have sunny intervals and a gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 22 degrees, UV levels at medium. On Wednesday 29th of July, we have light cloud and a gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 22 degrees and UV levels again at medium. Finally, Thursday 30th of July, we have light rain and a gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 21 degrees and UV levels again at medium. Whatever the weather, enjoy the weather.
Thank you, Mina. I'll do my best. And to finish, a music quiz. So as we've done the last few weeks, I'll give you a song title and we'll miss a word out. And I'll replace that word with the word what. And all you've got to do is identify the song. So no prizes, but we'll give you the answers next week. All right. So we'll go from 1962. So the first song is The Young What. That's Cliff Richard and the Shadows. So what's the missing word? The Young What. From 1963, From Me to What? The Beatles. From 1964, Anyone Who Had a What? Cilla Black. From 1965, A Walk in the What What? We've got two words there. A Walk in the What What? By Horst Jankowski. And from 1966, You Can't Hurry What? The Supremes. So those are this week's questions sent in from Andy Coaston. And if you know the answers, great. And if you don't, well, you know, we'll give you the answers next week. Over to you, Simon.
So that's it for another edition of the Black Country Talking News. A reminder to our CD listeners who have received CDs in padded envelopes that you don't need to send anything back to us. If you have a sight loss tip or someone you would like to wish a happy birthday to, just say hello to. Maybe even a poem or talking book you would like reviewed, then please get in touch with us at the Beacon Centre. Call 01902 880111. Email bctn@beaconvision.org or write to us at the Black Country Talking News, Beacon, Wolverhampton Road East, Wolverhampton, WV4 6AZ. We look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for listening, and thank you to all our supporters, donators and volunteers who without their support we would be unable to run this free service. Please note the information and views expressed in this recording does not necessarily represent the views of Beacon or Talking News and were accurate at the time of recording. Mentions of goods and services does not imply endorsement, and whilst every care is taken to supply accurate information, Beacon and Talking News do not undertake liability for any errors. So it's goodbye from all of us. Stay safe, have a good week, and we look forward to bringing you next week's edition of the Black Country Talking News. Ta-ra!